Welcome to episode 265 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
On the show page will be some links to more information, and you can find those by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
Yay for us. Yeah. And links. Does anybody visit? Can you tell the page?
I have this whole Google Analytics thing set up. Oh. It's got all sorts of information that I never look at.
Fancy, probably unintelligible.
I looked at it once or twice, right? Yeah. This is the kind of thing that's going to depress me. So I needed it for reasons. I can't remember why, but some official something or another.
Mm-hmm.
Probably to do with promotion. Speaking of which.
Oh, hey.
We're going to talk about the Silurian period today. But before we get to that, I want to mention that next week is our 3-year anniversary show.
Dun, dun, dun.
We are actually sending out some gifts to some of our longtime listeners and friends of the show.
Which was an epic process, and, but we won't get into that.
Not everybody. You know who you are, because if I've contacted you by now, you're one of them. Mm-hmm. Most of them have gotten back to us. A couple have not.
Oh.
If I don't hear from you guys by July, I'm going to assume you don't even want it.
Give it away to the
we'll give
janitor.
It to somebody who actually likes us.
Yeah. Thanks for delivering the pizza. Have a mug.
Pizza boy who doesn't even know he's a rabid fan.
I don't even want it, man.
All right, let's get into the Silurian period.
Silurian.
The Ordovician ended with a die-off.
Yes.
Even there, I'm getting different numbers. I said 49% of everything died. I've also heard 60%, 85%, 86%, and 89%.
You know what I'm hearing? A lot.
Yeah.
Close to, if not more than half.
The numbers in the 80s sound right. Assuming the factoid that this is the second biggest die-off in Earth's history,
mm-hmm.
That's the ballpark you'd expect it to be in.
Well, it's hard to count, too, if you're, you know, it's like bacteria. Do you count them all individually or by species?
You just got to go by whatever fossils are missing and then, I don't know, guess.
Right, screw the math. A lot.
I don't know how they do the math even. It's a mystery.
Hmm.
All right. So the Silurian period lasted for amount of time, from a certain amount of time to another certain amount of time. Do you want the numbers from Wikipedia or National Geographic?
Are they different?
Yes.
Oh, National Geographic.
All right, then. From 443.7 million years ago to 416 million years ago.
Okay. Yeah, the things are getting smaller.
One of the things that somebody said, this is the shortest period in the Paleozoic era.
Uh-huh.
So, yes.
Yeah, yeah. At least in this case, I'm right. Never happens.
So, the Silurian, not much happened. There were some minor extinction events,
okay,
which are minor to everyone except who goes extinct.
This is like a buffer zone.
The continents moved around. Not a lot of volcanic activity. A few firsts, but nothing really caught on. No major changes. Like I said, it's like warming up for the Devonian.
Yeah.
And it was, in fact, warmer than the Ordovician. The ice caps were gone. Gondwana moved further south. At the time, it started out by straddling like all the way from the equator to the South Pole. Everything kind of moves south. You end up with this very large ocean in the northern hemisphere.
Oh, weird. Okay.
You also get a lot of those shallow seas back where life loves to live, assuming there's enough oxygen, and there are all sorts of trilobites at the time.
Mm.
You
can
find them all over North America as fossils.
Is that why it gets its own name? Just because of the trilobites? I mean,
It gets its own name.
It's this tiny little period, right? It didn't get folded into the next period.
Right. I have no idea.
Trilobites.
They name things for reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. What am I looking at here? We finally get reef-building corals.
Hey.
We've actually had a number of different critters that were making reefs.
Oh.
But now we finally have corals building reefs, along with a couple of sponges that were building reefs that weren't building reefs before. Don't make me say that sentence
again.
That's
what I was about to ask if you could. Nice.
The cephalopods make a comeback.
Hey.
with a number of nautiloids. You know, basically they've got tentacles and eyes and a shell that's used as a flotation device.
That's right.
They never got as large as they did in the Ordovician. I don't think they were quite the top predator anymore. That seems to have been taken over by the sea scorpions, which is a large group of, well, fairly diverse critters, except that they're all scorpion-shaped.
Okay. Hence the name, I guess.
May or may not be related to the scorpions we have nowadays. There seems to be some argument and or confusion over that score.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Okay. Didn't really have legs. They had sort of paddles instead of feet. And some of them got huge, like I'm hearing anywhere from 6 to 10 feet long.
Wow.
There's something you don't want to meet in the flippin' dark alley, right?
I know. I daydream about going to the past, but sometimes I've been proven
wrong. I like it here. Yeah. I like it here where there are no giant arthropods.
Anythings, yeah.
Ready to dine on my ancient vertebrate ancestors. There's fish.
Oh, hey. So at least we have something we can eat.
Another thing that happened with the arthropods is they climbed up on land.
Hey, that's important.
Early arachnids, actually. I don't think they were quite spiders yet. Mm. This may have something to do with the fact that we finally got vascular plants on the land.
Vascular, huh? Is that like...
It's exactly like that. Whatever your guess was, it's correct. Back in the Ordovician, what you were getting are moss-like plants, maybe some lichens.
Yeah.
These things have stems and roots.
Uh-huh.
And branches.
Okay.
And specifically vascular tissue to take nutrients and water from the ground and get it to every little bit of the plant that needs it.
Okay. I was going to go for bloodstream. That's what was my guess.
You know, it's,
what was my, yeah.
Sort of the planty version of that. Of course, a plant uses for blood, you know, water.
Yeah.
It's also taking the sugars it makes through photosynthesis and send that back to whoever needs glucose for any sort of reason.
Anybody?
Nice. Doesn't seem to go back down to the roots, though. If somebody knows more about plants than me, and that's just about anybody who knows anything about plants, explain this to me. Don't the roots need sugars to grow?
I know. They grow. Yeah. What sort of reserve are they working with?
Some of these plants, like potatoes, right?
Oh,
absolutely,
yeah.
Full of starches and sugars. So, okay, whatever. Anyway, the early vascular plants may not have even had leaves. And though they could grow taller, taller was a couple of feet tall.
I'm a giant.
Anyway, let me get back to that vertebrate history. You know, the thing about the vertebrates, they actually show up in the Cambrian. I think you get those primitive chordates in the early Cambrian. By the end of the Cambrian, they're finding fish scale fragments.
Uh-huh.
It suggests that the vertebrates had started back then. And in the Ordovician, we get better, more preserved skeletons.
Okay. There's proof. That's a fish. Hold you.
And in this era, we get lots and lots and lots of diversification in those jawless fish. They've got their bony plates, which is apparently where the whole idea of having a skeleton at all started.
Bony plates. Okay.
Actually, you know what? I should explain what a vertebrate actually is, and I did on Monday. There are no sharks yet. That was the first mistake. I got so excited about the Devonian, I put it ahead a period, and we're going to talk about that.
I forgot what I was excited about last time we ended
Well, let
this.
Me remind you, just to disappoint you.
It was sharks. Oh, yeah. Now I'm disappointed.
Okay, the other thing, I was talking about the jawless fish. There's the hagfish and the lamprey.
Right.
L-A-M-P-R-E-Y, however you pronounce that. Lamprey?
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds good to me.
I said something like the moray or the morora. I got it wrong, is what I'm saying.
Well, here we are.
We're going to get to talk a lot more about fish. I thought I'd explain, here on this Monday, what a vertebrate is.
Okay.
Officially. There's a
spine, right? Just needs a spine.
Nah.
No.
You don't necessarily even need a spine, per se, as in vertebral column like we have.
Yeah.
Our spine is made up of these bones that are hollow and discs that are sandwiched between them, probably made of collagen. I don't know. I haven't looked it up.
All right, doesn't matter. Discs. Yes. Squishy bits.
Squishier, anyway.
Shock absorption.
Yes. Also hollow because our nerve cord runs right down the middle of this whole assembly.
Mm-hmm.
Our nerve cord is also hollow.
What? I thought it was
all right,
a bundle.
So vertebrates are part of a group of animals.
Uh-huh.
They're all related, all came from the same common ancestors.
Ooh.
It's larger than vertebrates, though. If we were going to go kingdom, phylum, all of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Vertebrate would be kind of a subphylum.
The evolution of the
Because before the vertebrates, we have chordates.
Okay.
Chordates, which all vertebrates are, you know, just like all squares are actually rectangles or however that works.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Chordates have a notochord, or a nodal cord, as this one guy called it. I've never heard it called that before, but he sure seemed to mean it.
Okay.
It is a rod of collagen running down the back.
For
and then there are reasons. Muscles attached to it on either side. They make kind of a zigzaggy pattern if you look at the striations of the muscle.
Okay.
It's to give the animals something for their muscles to pull and push against.
Oh, okay.
And let them do that classic wriggle snake pattern swim through the water / mud thing.
Okay.
Now that is one of several characteristics that all chordates have. We have it briefly when we are an embryo. Another thing chordates all have are slits in the neck.
We?
People keep calling these gill slits because they turn into gills in fish.
That was going to be my question.
Right. But not all chordates use them for gills. Even animals that came earlier than fish seem to use them for feeding primarily. You just sort of swallow a bunch of mud and then squirt it out the slits.
Well, why need a mouth? You can just have slits in your neck.
Oh, it's great crap. Fun for like the hagfish who breathes and eats with its gills.
Okay. It'll
be a great way to choke to death.
Happening right now. Yeah.
As a fish.
What if you swim through a mud storm?
Anyway, again, we have slits in our neck, or our pharynx, as they call it, when we're embryos.
Oh. And they're not gill slits.
No, they're not gill slits. They don't even go all the way through. They're covered by pouches.
Oh.
I think somebody who knows more about human development can call me wrong on that.
Please.
Even if I'm right, it'll be fun. All right. Another thing chordates have is a post-anal tail.
What?
I know. The way it sounds dirty. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of animals who are not vertebrates or chordates end at their anus.
Yes. Okay.
If you think about the
that is the end.
You think about an earthworm body, for example.
Oh, okay.
You swallow food at the front, spit it out the rear.
Mm-hmm.
Chordates and vertebrates have a tail that extends past their buttocks, assuming they have buttocks. I'm just trying not to say anus.
But it's so funny. Oh, yeah, that makes sense, because snakes don't go out their tail. They go out this little flappy... Okay, that makes sense to me.
All right. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, adult humans, or even children, don't have a tail.
Right.
But briefly, when we're an embryo, we do have a tail. Seems sort of a theme here. Yeah. Now, if you want to talk about vertebrates...
I do. Okay, let's
step
talk about
away from chordates. There's a couple of different distinguishing characteristics that the vertebrates have that the rest of the chordates don't.
Okay, this is our rectangle as opposed to the square.
Right. Well, this is more square than rectangle.
Oh, yeah, I did that backwards. Well, that's what we do here.
Welcome to the show.
Oops.
Bone.
Oh, okay. What do you call me? Anyways.
Bone. That is a vertebrate characteristic.
Ah. So instead of just a tube or what do you call it? Nodules?
A nodal cord?
Nodal cord. Instead of that, honest to goodness, calcium.
Let's try again. Might still have a notochord.
Okay.
And must at some time in their lifespan to be considered a vertebrate. Bone.
Right.
Internal skeleton.
Okay.
That's the vertebrate trick. You don't actually have to get a spine per se, but you do have to have bone somewhere on your body.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
All right. Well, that's all I want to say about Bone right now. I think the rest of the episode is going to be talking about Bone. So let's just let that go for now. Another thing vertebrates have that other critters don't have is something in front of their nodal cord.
Like a brain?
Like a head.
Oh, a head. Okay.
A head in front of their nodal cord, unlike other chordates. They call them more primitive. You know, and what else are you going to call them, right?
More primitive.
More primitive, simpler chordates, like a sea squirt, for example.
Oh, okay.
Their body ends at the front of their nodal cord.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a vertebrate, you have a distinct head, what they call anterior to your nodature.
That's what they call it.
And then a brain.
Aha!
Aha! He says, and indeed, the vertebrate brain seems to, according to a couple of articles, been fairly consistent since it happened.
Oh.
Including that whole left side goes to your right side of your brain,
uh-huh,
and vice versa.
Oh.
For sensory feeling and motor control.
Hmm. Okay. So, yeah.
That's with just about all the vertebrates. If half of your brain connects to something on the same side, they call that ipsilateral. If it connects to something on the opposite side, that's contralateral.
Okay.
There is one vertebrate that has a ipsilateral ocular information, like the left side of what it sees goes to the left side of the brain,
mm-hmm,
and vice versa. But it didn't uncross anything. It crossed twice to get there. This is a shark, crossed, by the way.
They got excited about this whole flipping around.
Yeah, so the optic chiasm, as I mispronounce it, has been in the vertebrate brain for as long as we can tell, and probably a bit longer, because that's a squishy bit. It's hard to see it, boss.
Yeah.
Also, you know, electrical behavioral studies. It's hard to stimulate a dead brain.
It really is. It's really hard to stimulate rock.
You don't actually need a spine, as in the modern spine that we have, to be considered a vertebrate.
Right.
Just bones, which is funny, because you'd think vertebrates would need vertebra.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as soon as you say bone, I think, oh, that must be for the spine.
No, well, earlier vertebrates actually used cartilage rather than bone. There were these funny little half-circular things going over the top of the hollow nerve cord.
Mm.
Which was still on top of a nodature.
Okay, what you said.
Yeah. Later on, you'd get Y-shaped bones coming in from either direction.
Uh-huh.
And eventually, you know, the circle closes,
mm-hmm,
and you get modern-looking vertebrae, but I don't know when that happened. Not yet, is what I'm guessing.
That's a mystery. That's not what we're talking about now.
Okay, and the thing with the sharks, I'm so confused. I get it now. Uh-huh. The spiny sharks show up.
Okay.
Now, the spiny sharks are sharks with spines.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, right?
No, they aren't actually sharks. That's how I was getting confused.
Oh.
They've got characteristics in common with both bony fish,
mm-hmm,
and cartilaginous fish.
I gotcha.
And so either they were on their way to becoming bony or on their way to losing the bones. Now, cartilaginous fish, that includes things like stingrays,
mm,
and manta rays and skates and sharks.
Squishy.
No bones, no ossified cartilage that becomes a skeleton. They just use cartilage for their skeleton.
Still hard to chew.
Which you can get away with if you're a fish.
Yeah.
The modern ones don't have swim bladders either, which, you know, means they can't just float there.
Poor little guys.
But their skin is made of dentin. Does that
like
sound
teeth.
Slightly tooth-like? Because that's one of the four bones in your tooth.
So, they're made of bone? Made of bone.
Four bone types. The first jaw of fish show up in the Silurian, and that includes some of these spiny sharks. They have jaws. It's sort of a scissor arrangement. They assume it doesn't actually have any teeth. Just like tough ridges.
It just needed to cut its food.
You want me to cut that up for you, honey? Modern scales, they are made of bone.
Oh.
A thin bone grows over the lifetime of the fish.
Okay.
Fossil scales include some very tooth-like structures.
Okay.
And some scales that were made of a layer of hard bone,
mm-hmm, Mm-hmm.
And then a layer of dentine.
There we go.
And in one case, then a layer of enamel.
We're working out how to grow teeth.
Yeah, on the outside of our body.
What is happening? I'm eventually going to chew with this.
So there had been a debate whether or not teeth started out as scales and then just sort of moved to the mouth and did the tooth thing.
Yeah.
They checked with zebrafish, and the developing embryo wasn't working right. The place that made the scales wasn't the same source for the cells that made the teeth.
Okay.
So yeah. Okay, never mind then. Well, apparently not in zebrafish. However, they checked a skate, right? An older lineage of fish that goes all the way back maybe to the spiny sharks.
Okay.
Again, there seems to be some confusion on
that. There always is.
And their cell population for making their scales comes from the same place, the same population that make our teeth.
See, there we go. This is a good way to do this. And it got copied at some point.
Yeah, it's working. You know what? You know what we could really use? Really hard scales in our mouth.
Then I don't have to cut everything for you, honey.
All right, a couple of other one other innovation took place with the fish that we need to mention.
Mm.
Freshwater species.
Ooh.
Yes.
It's a serious
step. And speaking of steps, eventually some of those freshwater fish will start walking.
Yay! Us, eventually.
Yeah. You can see the thread we're following here.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to talk about that when we talk about the Devonian, which is not next time. Next time is our 3-year anniversary show. And we'll see you then.
Bye.
Do you want to try another bye?
No. I like it. Catch me off guard. Wait.